Tim Johnson's new novel, Descent, is not only a great story with great writing, it's also an incredible thriller. He tells the story of the Cortlands, a family from the plains who, while on vacation in the Rocky Mountains, suffer the unthinkable when a teenage son and daughter go up into the mountains, but only the son returns. Descent is a thriller, but it also tells the story of the survivors, the family members left behind. It's an incredible new novel, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Tim Johnston to the roundtable. Tim, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thanks for having me. I'm grateful to be here.
I should mention Tim is going to be at Odyssey Bookshop on Thursday, the 15th of January at 7 o'clock for an event, and we'll tell you more about that in a few moments. I don't want to seem selfish here or self-centered, but I have to say I feel like you wrote this book for me because it has just everything I love in a novel. It's so beautiful. The writing is incredible, and the story is just edge of your seat and just so damn well written. How long have you been working on this?
Well, first let me say I did write it for you.
Thank you.
And if not the literal sense, then the overall sense of that, you sound like the perfect reader for this book.
Thank you.
You know, someone who appreciates the writing that I work so hard on, and also just likes a gripping story. And to answer the question, I took about 6 years from the time I began it to the time I turned in a first draft. And I would like to say that I was hard at the desk the entire time, every day, working at it, but there were, frankly, stretches of time where I didn't work on it at all. I was distracted with other things and put it aside and didn't know where to go and came back to it. And so, yeah, it was a long process.
Does subject matter have anything to do with that? That you're talking about the effect on a family, you're talking about the missing, you're talking about the unknown, that there's something about that every once in a while you have to take a breather?
I think so. You know, when I look back on it now, I realize how important that time was in sort of living their experience. You know, they're sort of in this limbo that just goes on and on. My particular limbo went on for 6 years, but, you know, it was sort of, I kept checking back in with them to see how they're coming along, you know. And so in a way, it was sort of, to write about that lengthy kind of endurance of loss and uncertainty, I feel like I kind of had to go through it myself, in a sense. And so we were all sort of in the same boat. Though I had no daughter missing, but, you know, for long periods of time, I sort of lost track of them, the whole family, and then would come back to them and check in with them. And so we kind of went through it together.
Not to be overly psychological in my questioning, but it seems a novel like this comes out of a certain sense of solitude.
Mm-hmm.
Is that safe to say?
That is safe to say. It comes out of a sort of solitude of mind and spirit, but also a solitude of physicality. I was up there in the Rocky Mountains myself for months on end, entirely by myself, working on this house, doing the finish work. I was a carpenter. Still am a carpenter, but I was a carpenter for many years, and that's why I was out there working on this house. And, you know, and I was up there just up in the snow and the trees and the mountains, way up there. And it was a completely solitary existence, you know, other than the times when I would walk down the hill and go have a coffee or something. And I think they really came out of that. And it was very, the landscape and the environment had a lot to do with the story, you know, and it's a story of getting lost, basically. So, yeah, I sort of shared this experience. I was a Midwesterner coming up to the mountains, sort of being taken in by all the grandeur of it, but also being kind of at times sort of frightened by it, sort of overwhelmed by it. Just when you live up there for a long period of time, you begin to realize how easy it would be to get lost up there and never be heard from again, even in this day and age. There's just so much land in it, so much of it is not mapped and not, you know, without roads and without ski parks, and it's just vast.
One of the things that I loved about the novel is your ability to tell such a suspenseful story, a real thriller of a book, but also get incredibly thoughtful and psychological into the characters and into the minds. And that seems like an extremely delicate balance, because once you get thoughtful and introspective, you can often slow down the pacing, but you're able to balance that so beautifully.
Yeah. My reply to that is that I really wasn't thinking about pacing when I was writing the actual original text. I was really thinking about the characters, and their psychology was the most important thing to me, their complexity. And I come from a literary background, not to sound pretentious about it, but I went to, an MFA program to get my degree, and I was trained in writing, in literary writing, and my ambitions were in literary writing, and certainly not genre writing, nothing, not that I have anything against it. I grew up, consuming those books, which I think sort of manifests in this book. But it was mainly I was just writing the characters, and it was only later after it was all compiled that we began to sort of, and by we I mean my various editors and I, began to work out how to make the story as compelling as it could be to the reader, from a page-by-page kind of exciting. And that meant sort of chopping things up and rearranging things, and that's where that pace comes from. But I was never consciously trying to write what we're calling a thriller. It was like the last thing on my mind. When you're working on a book for, 6 years, it just doesn't feel very thrilling, very right. Thriller-like. So that was the thriller aspect came sort of, it was sort of secondary, and I'm really glad it worked out as well as it did. I didn't really expect it to. I was very surprised when people started telling me, I couldn't put it down. I was up all night. And I was like, well, gee, that's really great. I never predicted that. I was just more interested in writing, a great sort of a good compelling story, but more about, believable characters that people would identify. And in the end, I think I have to sort of tell myself that that's what makes the story more gripping and compelling, is that people, become involved in the characters, because that's what I really hoped that I was doing.
So, which brings to me the obvious question, which is, did you know how it was going to end? Did you always know how this was going to turn out?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because that goes back to how long it took me to write it and why I stopped writing. Because I think that I did have an idea when I began. I don't use outlines or anything like that. I didn't have a really grand scheme, but I had a kind of idea how it would end, or how I thought it would end. And the further I got into the novel, and the more I began to understand the characters, and frankly, love them, the less I wanted to get to that ending. And so I think I was sort of delaying, and finally I reached a point in the writing where, literally the next sentence would have to go toward that ending or do something else. And I must have stopped for about a year. And it was only later that I realized I stopped because I didn't want to go to that ending anymore. And when I realized the ending that would work for me, or that I could live with, the writing went very quickly, and I think that's sort of what accounts for what people respond to in how the book does sort of end, is because, and the surprise of it is because I was sort of, I wasn't writing toward that ending, so it was surprising to me in the same sense, and I think that is evident in the execution.
Because it reads that way. It seems as though you have, like, there's an ending there, an original ending of how it should, and then, oh, but wait, there's more.
Uh-huh. Yeah, in fact, and without giving anything away, I sort of, there's sort of an homage to the original ending embedded in the book. It's a little chapter I won't talk too much about, but it's kind of what I thought of as the original ending. And it's in there now as kind of a, just a scene that's might have been an ending but isn't.
Right, and you didn't have to give it up.
No, and it was one of. I gave up a lot of stuff, but I was able to keep that. And when I read it, I think, oh, that reminds me that this book was going to be a different kind of book once upon a time.
So now here's kind of the pain in the neck question, which is, do you think that once you've been through this process, for those of us that devoured this book in a few days, will it take that long for you to do something like this again?
Yeah, good question. I ask myself. You're not the only one asking that. My agent is asking that. My editor is asking that, and I'm asking that. You know, and I think the process changes with every project, with every book. Not that I have so many books to my name, but every process, each one has been different. And the trouble is that I can't set out to write a book like this one. If I do, I'm going to be kind of doomed. I have to just sort of set out to write the book I want to write and see if it comes close to this. And it may not. It may be a different kind of book altogether. I don't know. But I think if I start out with this kind of expectation, oh, you've got to do another, literary thriller that people read in 2 days, I'm probably going to fail at that, because I didn't set out to do that with this book. So why would I be better at it next time around? Because I didn't know what I was doing the first time. You know what I mean? That's
right.
Sort of the process sort of dictates how it turns out.
It seems as though also that the geography would have a lot to do with it. I mean, because you feel like you're in the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah. I certainly never would have written this book if I hadn't gone up there and lived there. That's one of those weird twists of fate. If I hadn't gone up there, I was sort of badgered into doing it. It was a house my father and stepmother had built up there. And I really didn't want to go because I thought once I got up there, I would never write. I'd just be working. Instead, I began to write this novel. And, when I left there, I had 200 pages or so under my belt. And it really was that place, that inspired the story, and I think that my travels inspired a lot of what happens with the son in the story, who's sort of aimlessly driving around. I did that a lot. I drove around as a carpenter, and I lived in New Mexico for a while, I don't know. I think it's hard to imagine another sort of landscape that could sort of replicate that experience, another time and landscape, a kind of combination of confluence of events in my life that would do that again. But who knows?
Well, the book is just wonderful. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed it. It's a book that I've been hearing about for a while. All of my independent bookseller friends were emailing me and texting me and saying, oh my God, you have to read this.
That's great. So great to hear.
And when
somebody's out there working it.
And when I finally took him up on it, I was like, oh my God, this is terrific. Tim Johnson is going to be at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts, Thursday night. That's January 15th at 7 o'clock for an event. And you can find out more by going to their website, which is odysseybks.com. Odysseybks.com. Again, the name of the book is Descent, a novel. It is published by Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill. Tim Johnston, thank you so much for spending time with us. Best of luck on this just terrific book, and thank you very much for a wonderful literary start to the new year.
Thank you, Joe. It was a real pleasure.
I appreciate
it. I really enjoyed
it. Thank you. Again, the title of the book is Descent. It is published by Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill. Tim Johnston is the author. You can find out more about his event at Odyssey Bookshop by going to odysseybks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.